Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from, and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
Good morning. Oh, yay, a response. Good morning to everyone joining us online as well. I'm Stacy Sweet. I'm one of the pastors here at Kingwood United Methodist Church. And we are in the second week of our series that we just started, Duke and Altum. It is not about ducks. It's about going deeper in our faith and going deeper into those membership vows that we made when we first joined the church. It's the Latin phrase from Luke 5, meaning to put out into the deep. It's what Jesus asked of Simon. So I'm going to do a quick review here of Luke 5 from the teaching from last week. So Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee. The crowds show up. He asks to borrow Simon's boat. Yes, y'all can go ahead and leave. Leave for Children's Church. There you go. Anybody else? You have to be, you know, under second grade. Jesus is teaching by the lake. He goes out, the crowds are get to be so large, so he borrows Simon's boat, goes out into the lake, and he teaches. They come back in, and Jesus asks Simon to go back out. And Simon's reply is, we were out all night, we did not catch anything, we have been there, done that. But he obeys. They take their nets and their boats back out, and they fill them up to the point where the boats are almost sinking. In that time, Simon starts to realize his dependence on Jesus and who Jesus is. And so Simon, Peter, James, and John all leave everything behind, and they follow Jesus. Now back to our church vows. I'm going to do a quick review of those too. There may or may not be a quiz at the end of this sermon. So pay attention. So for those of you who don't remember your church vows, I'm going to go over them. These are the four questions that we ask. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe in the Christian faith as contained in the Old and New Testaments? Those are the ones that are done at baptism and confirmation. And then the membership questions. Do you support the United Methodist Church and uphold the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? So we started last week with presence, and today we're going to talk about service. In the past, we felt like we probably knew what service meant. We had a traditional way of doing it, but tradition is pretty much out the door at this point. So how do we serve? How do we go deeper into service when our normal way of doing things is not working anymore? And some of our normal doesn't even exist anymore. We don't have access to hospitals, nursing homes, shut-ins. Mission trips have been canceled. We no longer gather for the table and to eat and study together. Even how we serve on Sunday mornings and throughout the week at KUMC has changed. I miss my welcome desk volunteers during the week. Even if they were still happening, even if some of those things were still happening, there are some people who still aren't able to come back and participate fully with us, whether that's because of illness or because they're taking care of someone who's medically fragile. So what has changed and what remains the same in how we've served? And with everything that has changed, what does it mean to be a part of the body of Christ? We're going to read scripture here in a minute from Mark. I'm going to give you a little context for it. It's Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Where we pick up with Jesus is as Jesus is entering Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross at this point. And during all of chapter 10, we're just going to read the last encounter that Jesus has. It goes from Jesus addressing what's going to happen. He's telling the people what's going to happen. And that question, his encounters, go down to smaller and smaller groups. So first, he's addressing the crowds, and then he addresses the disciples, and then he addresses just James and John. And that's where we're going to pick up in our scripture. So if you'll open your Bibles, phones, whatever you have with you, to Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Bold question. What do you want of me? What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink from the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. You got to love their confidence. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So James and John are coming up to Jesus. They know something's coming down. They know that things are starting to get tense, that they hear the rumors, they hear the talk, they hear what Jesus is talking about. So they know that things are changing, and they're starting to vie to figure out how this is all going to play out and where am I going to land when it all comes down. They're trying to figure out what's in it for me, what can you do for me, and how can my status be elevated. The influence of the world has crept in and has set up base camp right there in the middle of the disciples. Jesus uses this opportunity, though, to instruct them on the true meaning of discipleship. He doesn't try to explain to them theologically what's about to happen. He knows there's no way they're going to catch that. He's already started talking about it, and they're obviously not getting it. When our heart and our priorities are not right, Jesus uses discipleship to correct. He used it to correct James and John and all the disciples in this and us. The message interpretation of this, when Jesus is addressing all the disciples, is you've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, he said. And when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. The disciples, the other 10, got mad. They could see what James and John were trying to do behind their backs, and they were not happy about it. So Jesus brought them all together. And there in the middle of this dissension, of this brokenness, their hearts were out of alignment with God. And Jesus' response is to tell them to be like him and to serve. And this is how God uses service to shape us. When the influence of the world becomes too much, it's through discipleship that God shields us from being shaped by the world and reshapes us when the world has taken its toll. And one of the ways to understand who Jesus is and what he did on the cross is through service. The word ransom that's used in verse 45 here in the Greek in this passage is a specific word that specifically refers to buying back slaves. It's a redeeming purchase. And we are redeemed through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He accomplished this because he was willing to make himself the least and serve in the ultimate way. So if this is one of the ways we understand Jesus better, is by him teaching us through discipleship, then how does that fit into our membership vows? How do we live this out? As a church, and by church I'm kind of talking about KUMC this morning, we don't just mean even within our church, just within the walls. This is not a place that we come to practice our faith. This is where we come on Sunday mornings or any time we come here. We come to encounter God and then be sent out into the world to serve. That's so important to remember. We come here to encounter God, and we serve such an amazing God that he wants us to do that. He allows that to happen, and he calls us into his presence every Sunday morning. There's inward ways that we serve the church. I'm kind of defining inward myself, meaning there's things that have to happen inside the walls of the church. Sunday school has to be taught, greetings on Sunday mornings, serving on committees, tech team, choir, Emmaus groups, More to Life groups, small group leaders for the youth. All of these are ways that disciples are made. And they're necessary. And when a child or when the kids are, students are confirmed, one of the things that we as a congregation promise to do is to continue to nurture their faith. So there's ways that we serve that continue to nurture that, that continue to help us and them grow in their faith. It's how we're built up in the Word so that the gospel can be proclaimed. And then there's outward ways to serve through missions, local, regional, and international missions. And this is how the gospel is proclaimed to the world. But we can't sit here and wait for everyone to show up in person or online and think, well, you know, once they come here, then we'll let them know what it is. It's up to us to go out into the world, to walk out these doors and share the good news of Jesus Christ.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Chris Harrison is our pastor of Serve Ministries. And if you want to go deeper into something, he's a great person to start a conversation with. Because he will listen to you and listen to what your heart is telling you and pray with you to reveal kind of what those next steps are for you. But these are just some of the ways that you can get connected and actually serve. Volunteering at Society of St. Stephen or Mission Northeast, taking a meal to Freedom Place, becoming a mentor at Fresh Start or Oaks of Righteousness, joining a work team that's going to Orange for Hurricane Laura repairs, help Oasis Ministries care for foster and adoptive families in the area that need support, join a group to deliver lunches to White Oak Apartments, pray in parking lots, and become a part of a group that's working together to help shut down illicit massage parlors. All those things are continuing to happen, but for some of us, they're happening differently than how they happened before, and they might look a little bit different. So what do those things look like in the midst of a pandemic? When we can't necessarily gather and serve in the ways that we have been accustomed to, how do we allow our hearts to continue to be shaped by service? How do we go deeper in service when we are spending record amounts of time in our pajama bottoms? Even if you are worshiping online right now, and I'm going to just go with, there's a good chance you're probably still in your PJs drinking your coffee. and the rest of you, I'm glad to see, all came dressed today. but even if you are back in person, I guarantee you have spent more time in the past 9 months in your pajama bottoms than you ever have probably previously in your life. So what is deeper service? What does that look like? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was martyred during World War II, he was German, wrote this, and I actually posted the rest of this. It's actually part of a longer quote, but I posted it on the Facebook community. So if you want to see it in its entirety, you can go there and check it out. So he says this: the first service one owes to others in a community involves listening to them. Just as our love for God begins with listening to God's word, the beginning of love for others is learning to listen to them. God's love for us is shown by the fact that God not only gives God's word, but also lends God's ear. We do God's work for our brothers and sisters when we learn to listen to them. I'm going to go back and read that other sentence again. Just as our love for God begins with listening to God's word, the beginning of love for others is learning to listen to them. God's love for us is shown by the fact that God not only gives God's word, but also lends us his ear. When we serve, we're providing an avenue or a conduit for God's work to be accomplished. In the Luke passage that we discussed last week at the beginning, what did they do? The people gathered. They listened to Jesus teach. They listened to the word. And then he asked them to go deeper. Sometimes we get things mixed up. We need to go back to that first Jesus taught and the people listened, and then he asked them to go deeper. First, we have to listen to the word, for this is where our love of God begins. Listening to others is where our love for others begins. Serving is about loving others, about going deeper. God does not want us to give someone water or dig a well. He wants us to give them water because we love them, and it breaks our heart to see them suffer. He wants us to tell them about the water that will relieve their thirst for all of eternity. It's a package deal. Love is made possible through God because that is where it all starts. Going deeper in service starts with listening to God and listening to those around us. But going deeper requires God's love. We go deeper by listening, which requires presence. See last week's sermon. You're going to start to see how they're all tied together, I think, as we go through this. But we can't listen if we're not present. When we listen to what people need, it requires a response. And rarely is that response glamorous. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Service calls us to the mundane, to the ordinary, and to the trivial. Jesus asked the disciples to follow him and go walk around. He said, follow me. There wasn't anything, a program he was called to, a project they were called to, just follow me. They were invited to accompany Jesus on the mundane and the ordinary. And in the midst of a pandemic, we're kind of experiencing the mundane and the ordinary more than ever. But that's where life is lived, in the everyday. My memories of my grandmother are some of my most cherished memories. I grew up where one week into the summer, I went to my grandmother's house, and I stayed until about 2 or 3 days before school started, and then I was drug out, kicking and screaming and crying, and placed in the car and driven back to Houston. But she was an incredible part of my life and a tremendous part of my life. The memories that I have of her, when I started to write them out, are being in the kitchen together, cooking, baking, rolling out chicken and dumplings, rolling out biscuits, making hot water cornbread, eating together, reading together, she loved to read, taking a nap after lunch and watching her stories, watering the flowers, going out to her garden. That relationship grew in the ordinary and the mundane daily household activities that were elevated to my favorite things because of the love that I received there. Never once did my grandmother take me on a trip. When I started to think about this, the only places we went were to her house, to a family member's house to go visit, grocery store, church, lots of church in there, and the library. There was nothing big or dramatic. It was all, those memories were all created in the mundane and the trivial and the ordinary. Jesus picked up a towel and washed the disciples' feet. He was present in that room and he was listening to the disciples. He had to know and feel and hear the murmurs and the whispers and what they were worried about, and that they knew something was about to happen. And when they were scared and unsure about what the future held and who he really was and what was really about to happen, he revealed himself through his actions, through the most ordinary way, by washing their feet. There is great liberty in the ordinary. It enables us to say no to what the world says. It enables us to say no to self-promotion and authority, to all those things that Jesus reminds the disciples, these things don't matter. This is what the world is telling you is important. What I'm telling you is that you were brought here to serve. True service, or deeper service, is what we're called into. There's a book by Richard Foster called Celebration of Discipline, Pathway to Spiritual Growth. Highly recommend it. It's really good. And he actually contrasts self-righteousness and true service in there. What I'm going to read for you today is just his description of what true service is. I'm going to post on Facebook, I'm going to post both of them side by side so you can go back and look at that later if you want to see both of them. But right now, I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to just listen. I'm going to read them slowly, and I want them to just sink in for a moment. I just want you to think and pray and ponder on them as I read them off. And this is what true service is. Relationship with the divine. It's small. It looks for all opportunities to serve. It's content with hiddenness. Free from the need to calculate results. Indiscriminate. Just because there is a need. It listens with tenderness and patience before acting. And it builds community that draws together, binds, heals, and builds. So going deeper in service isn't about doing more. It's about our relationship with the divine. It's about falling more in love with God by listening to his word and loving our neighbor by listening to their need. That need might be for the gospel, for emotional, mental, or physical healing, for grace, for forgiveness, for someone to break up lonely days, for food, for someone to celebrate a positive lab result with. The need within the church might be teaching Sunday school with children, calling and checking on people in your Sunday school class or small group, driving someone to get their shot, praying over the phone with someone who's in quarantine. Things have changed during the pandemic, and although we have many new things on our plate, a lot of things have been stripped away and taken away. And it provides a unique opportunity to listen to God's word and to listen to those around us in a new way. Then we can serve and serve in deeper and more meaningful ways. Not necessarily with big crowds and groups, but in small, intimate, meaningful ways that shape our hearts so that we can truly understand who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross. Remember our scripture from Mark. The disciples were so caught up in what the world told them was so important, and they were bickering over who was the most important. And Jesus responded by calling them to serve as he served, something that there's no way they could have fully understood. There's something that, a part of that, that we still can't even fully understand. To listen to God, listen to those around them, and respond in love by serving. He called them to the mundane and the ordinary. They were walking town to town, and God has always revealed himself in this way. When we hear his word, we obey, and our hearts are transformed for his glory and for the kingdom. And that's what it means to go deeper into service. The band can go ahead and start coming back up. As we close, I just want us to think for a moment, and as we get prepared to be sent back out, after we've had this encounter with God, after we've heard God's word today, and as we're sent back out, to think about that, to think about how God uses discipleship to shape our hearts, how when we're trying to understand who Jesus is and really truly what happened on that cross, the way to do that is through our discipleship. It's by listening to his word, by loving God, and by responding and listening to others and responding to them in love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer goes on to say in the quote that I used earlier, "Anyone who thinks that his time is too valuable to spend keeping quiet will eventually have no time for God and his brother, but only for himself and for his own follies." If we don't keep listening to God, if we don't keep to responding to God in his love, if we don't listen to our neighbor, all we can hear is what the world is telling us.